Well, let me welcome everybody to the Wild Wild West, a state that's untouchable like Elliot Ness. Do you guys like when I rap? I want you guys to admit that you like it when I rap.
Why would we not admit? Like, I openly talk about how I actually tell people you're my favorite rapper, and they give me looks of I would say hatred, actually, when I say that out loud.
You should just tell them to pack a vest for your Jimmy in the city of sex.
This is a good line.
Pack a vest for your Jimmy in the city of sex.
Do you feel like you could freestyle for us? Maybe a little freestyle?
Yeah, a little freestyle for you. The state where you never want to dance floor empty and pimps be on the mission for them.
Whoa. That was great, thanks. Juice.
Well, okay, give me a topic to freestyle about.
California.
Just me.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think Crushstick is...
Okay. And what? Give me a setting.
New York City?
New York City, okay.
A New York City bathroom.
And he's at the DMV. He's trying to get his driver's license.
The public bathroom at the DMV.
Yeah.
Let me welcome everybody to the Big Apple. Meet the man who always has to take a crapple. He's thin. He's reedy. He's really quite kind. And if you give him a chance, I think you'll find he's not much better once you get to know him. But give him a year and he'll start to grow on you like a fungus or a virus. Meet my friend, Russell Cyrus. God, I wish your name was Cyrus. Damn it.
I'll give it to you.
It would be so good if
it was Cyrus. The room would have exploded if you landed it, but that's okay.
Shoot.
Frustic rhymes with so much.
Yeah.
It's so many options.
Yep. You'll be glad to get rid of him like a uncomfortable bustle. I'd like for you to meet my friend Russell.
What's an uncomfortable bustle?
Like a bustle? Like the garment? Like a bustle?
Who?
I think I liked Cyrus better.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's better. I'm going to change my name to
you
Cyrus.
I hope that he never gets hit by a bus. I'd like you to meet my dear friend Russ.
Oh, that's sweet.
That's sweet. Yeah.
It's kind of a nice thing in there, some emotions.
And I think that is actually the first time that you've said you don't want Russ to get hit by a bus.
I can grow and evolve just like everybody else. My name is Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy. I came here to kill chaos.
My name is Christopher Thomas Plant, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Russ Frosch, and I know the best game of the week.
Welcome to the Besties, where we talk about the latest and greatest in home interactive entertainment. It is a video game club, but just by listening, my friend, you have joined. Welcome. Here's your card. Please take your shoes off at the door. This week, we are talking about Final Fantasy.
Nope.
What? Stranger of Paradise Final Fantasy Origin. This is where it all got started, folks. Before it was final, this is how it began. Every tale has a beginning, and I guess Stranger of Paradise is that. Mm-hmm. What is it, Chris?
The publisher of Square Enix. They said, we want to go right back to the beginning of Final Fantasy, and who better to do it than the people who do that, the Ninja games, the Neo games, and the games where the ladies in the bikinis play beach volleyball, and you take snapshots of them in their bedrooms. Team Ninja is back, and they're back with a vengeance in this action semi-prequel to all of Final Fantasy.
Sort of remake of the first Final Fantasy game.
Yeah.
Kind of. Yeah, but strap in. We'll be right back.
So who here knows enough about Final Fantasy lore to speak to any of it?
Okay, I mean, I've played all of them.
Cool.
Pretty recently. Final Fantasy, I did. I think actually during the pandemic, I replayed all the Final Fantasy games on my little handhelds. The first Final Fantasy game, like, harkens back to an era of, like, JRPG storytelling that is so, so strange, and it's like it's telling a story that it expects you to know everything about the world and the lore before the game even starts, which I guess if you read the instruction manual, like that's how those games, you know, that's how those games did it back in the NES day.
Was it really that? I thought it was just like bad guy bad was the extent of the story in the first one. But
no, I mean, the first one had like a wild, like time travel, time loop, sort of like doomed hero. Like there was a lot going on at the beginning and ending of Final Fantasy. And then in the middle, it's like, you got to take this rat eye to Bahamut at the top of the Tower of Trials and then give it to Matoya. It was just a bunch of stuff. This game, I mean, you start out in the Chaos Shrine, which is like the first temple in Final Fantasy, and you fight the boss of that shrine, and you're like, oh, okay, it's Final Fantasy. But then, like, it changes basically immediately after that. And I have not played enough of the game, I think, to point out all of the differences in storytelling, but it is loosely based on Final Fantasy I, I would say.
But is that the idea? Because I thought this took place before the first Final Fantasy. And
no,
it's a
pseudo remake. I really don't know how to. Well, they don't really make games like this so much, which is like, I mean, I guess Final Fantasy VII remake is kind of similar.
Looser than that.
Much looser. Yeah, I mean, the characters are different in that. I guess in Final Fantasy I, like, there weren't so much characters. You made the characters from the game's intro screen, and so they had no defining characteristics whatsoever aside from their jobs.
There's
anyway,
so much to talk about.
There's so much. Yeah, let's not get bogged down.
Game.
Yeah. The story is wild and clunky, and it's like you would expect from a not great Final Fantasy story. That's the best I can say about it.
Yeah, all the cast members have these very boring, like very like Jack is the main character and his friends Jed.
Jack, Jed, Ash, and Neon are the main cast that you will interact with at least at the beginning of the game.
And it's important for people to know that this is not like a traditional turn-based strategy game. It is an action game in the style. Again, if you've played Neo, that is like probably the closest comparison we can make. I know people have been calling it a Souls game, although it has Souls elements. It does not feel like Dark Souls at all to me.
No. If you're being generous, it's Neo 3. If you're not being particularly generous, it's like Neo 0.75 in that, like, there's some stuff here that doesn't work quite as well as it works in Neo, which if you've not played it is in the Soulsy vein, but in a much more action, like fast paced Team Ninja format.
If I go ahead, Plant.
Well, I was just gonna say this feels like Neo or in some ways Dark Souls for like beginners, in that it's a very straightforward action game that has little taste of that Dark Souls formula in it. But then
straightforward is not the word I would use to describe the mechanics of this game.
I meant straightforward in the sense that like you move straightforward and you can't really linear get lost. Okay.
No one's ever used that word to mean that, but sure, yes, you do.
I'm sorry. You see, this would have helped if I was writing it down, because in my head, I had written straight and there was a space. I hit the space bar forward.
So you'd say like Leisure Suit Larry is also a pretty straightforward game.
Okay. No, because oh my gosh, we're not going to get into that. Justin, before we get into correcting Freshick, because he's embarrassing himself, can you talk about the menus in this game? Because
oh my god,
the menus are the game. As far as I
guys,
can tell.
I don't. At first, I really hated this. Like, I really hated it.
It makes a bad first impression.
The worst possible first impression. It layers on so many mechanics. Like, from the beginning, it is like, you know, you'll raise your maximum mana if you do this. It has two different kinds of parries. Like, and actually, I have a character now that has three. Like, it's wild. And it's not like it layers on all of this so fast. And it's like, you can do this, and if you can do, okay, so there's one of your blocks uses like your poise, basically your stamina to block, but you're blocking with magic, and if you block an enemy's magic attack with this, you'll absorb it and be able to redirect it back on them immediately.
Mm. Mega Man style.
Yeah, it's cool, but it's like one of a thousand different ways that you can attack people.
I got so many of the same pants. I got like 12 pairs of the same pants to give you an idea of how much they're throwing at you at once. I don't know what to do with all these pants.
I don't know where I'm putting these pants, right? I have hundreds of pants.
You can break them down. There's a blacksmith that you can break them down and turn them into materials to do stuff.
That's good to
know. Real quick pause, because I'm sure just people want to know the simple thing. Yeah. Did any of you all like this game? Because I'm going to be real, quite charmed by it.
I am charmed.
That's the second part of my thing, right?
Okay. Like,
it's those all these mechanics at you, and I was kind of like, I get it. I have a sword, right? So I'm just going to keep hitting people. And the game's like, oh, yeah, that's fine. You can ignore me. Don't worry about it. And then you get to the first, like, boss-type dude, and the game is suddenly like, hey, remember all that shit that I told you earlier? You do need to do all of that right now, because you're not going to get through this fight otherwise. So there was a boss, like, after not dying at all, I got to a boss who, I counted it, I died 23 times.
Jesus.
I know, because I hadn't been actually, like, engaging with the mechanics, right? I'd just been, like, hitting it with my sword. And if you engage with the mechanics, it's very doable, but, like, you need to engage with it. The thing that got me about this, and the thing that I didn't like, it has a sort of job system where you can take on the role of mage or sword fighter or what have you. And there's only certain weapons that work with each thing. And then you're building your skills by using these jobs. You build skills in them, earn skill points, increase the power of the jobs, and gradually unlock new jobs. But what really, like, when I started swapping in different weapons and just, like, playing around with it, it is not the sort of thing that I'm going to engage with long term. But if you did want to, there is an incredible amount of variety that you could mess with here to, like, really customize, like, exactly how you would want to play. And once I found, like, some different move sets and some different – and, like, by move sets, you can map –
Well, there's four different types of skills in this game.
Yeah,
skills you steal, the combo skills. There's so much.
Can I just explain the menu really quick? I got to the point, I don't know, there's a point about an hour in where it's like, hey, you really should check out the menu. And I was like, I don't know, I've been collecting all this loot. This seems like a bit of a sludge. I open the thing and it's like, hey, just, you know, assign the loot to your character, you know, like you change your pants. I'm like, okay, that's not so bad. You know, we do that in RPGs. And it's like, okay, while you're here, we got a skill tree. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I'm gonna pick that. And they're like, by the way, there's a skill tree for each of your different classes. And it's different points. So you should assign those too. I'm like, great. And it's like, oh, one more thing. There are special combos that you're also unlocking. And you need to go manually select those from a menu.
Yeah, and assign those to, I mean, literally like, combos like right bumper, right trigger, right bumper,
right
trigger,
quarter circle type of stuff.
Yeah,
not quarter circle.
It looks like a fighting game menu.
Using just two buttons. I want to hop in here and say that the job system. I am very critical of like progression systems in RPGs. I think the job system in this game is very exciting. And anytime I unlocked a new or found a weapon that sort of like gave me access to a new job, I would automatically just switch to it and
you level
start
up
fucking
quick.
Around with it. You level
like,
up very, very quick.
Yeah, so you unlock a lot of stuff very quickly. It's not like you're going to be really behind by just getting into a new job.
And each job.
And also because you unlock the new job, new like higher tier jobs and more specialized jobs, like get far enough along the mage tree, you can unlock black, white, red mage, whatever.
Each job has like a defining ability. And so like my favorite was the Lancer class, which you can evolve into like the Dragoon and the Monk, I think. Which just throws a big fucking spear that you can like line up to hit multiple enemies with and charge it up. And like once I unlocked that, I never took it off. And you can have two classes equipped at a time, basically two loadouts that you can switch with the press of a button. And you can even string combos between loadouts. Like you can start a combo as the Lancer and then switch to the Pugilist to like do some of their skills and switch back seamlessly. Like the combat, Team Ninja knows how to make good combat in a game. Mm-hmm. And that is no different here. Like this, it is a genuinely very fun game to play.
Two things I wanted to mention as well. One, there's a story mode, which is to say there's a mode that's like very easy, and you can kind of just play it and get, you know, a little button mashing.
Swept away by the, yeah, the tail
you,
of
Jack. Well, I mean, if you just want something mindless to, like, bash at, and you don't want to engage with all the systems, that's an option. I also wanted to mention, this is actually kind of a cool lore nod thing if you're a huge Final Fantasy fan. All of the dungeons, I haven't gotten that far, but my understanding is all of the dungeons in the game reference a different Final Fantasy installment. Like, they all, like, pull from a different game. So if you're a big, big Final Fantasy fan, there's probably a lot to, like, really dig in this in terms of, like, Easter eggs.
If you're not, that's cool, too, because the main character doesn't give a shit.
Yeah.
No, he does not.
This game's got a layer of sort of, like, dubstep edgelord shit. Like, the man wears AirPods and listens to dubstep while fighting chaos.
And turns them on dramatically.
Turns them on and takes them off dramatically. Like, he takes them off the way I take my AirPods off at the airport when someone asks me a question and I'm, like, really jamming to a podcast or something. I'm like, what? Like, what did you say? Like, that energy that Jack brings to all of the proceedings. It is so stupid, but the dubstep is pretty good.
It's the wild choice after wild. Okay, did you guys see you could miss it because this is also in the menus, but did you see how you can talk to townspeople? In the main menu of the game, there's a place where you go to talk to people, and you, like, choose the person that you want to talk to, and then you talk to them in front of a fountain, and then there's just, like, seven other people. Not an open world where you're walking around talking to people. It's literally, like, a list of, like, do you want to talk to this guy that owns a store? Like, yeah, sure, what's up with them?
Because so many weird things in this game where I have to imagine it was a different game or something, and they had made a lot of it, and then they changed. Because at the beginning of the game starts, and you meet three people, or two people, and you're like, okay, we're going to go on an adventure. And then it cuts to black, and then title cards appear and describe that you went on an adventure. And you're like, wait, what? Like, that sounds quite fun. And then you go back to another cutscene to go catch somebody up on the adventure you had.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Anyway,
they did
an adventure, and then they talked to the king for a very long time.
It's a mission-based game, I think it's important to point out, which sort of classifies Neo, but not necessarily Dark Souls, right? Like, the Souls-type games you think of as being fairly open world, and you can explore and get lost and go in all these different places. In this one, you have an overworld map, and you pick missions off of it, which is more in line with Neo.
I do not get where the Souls thing comes in. Like,
you attack with shoulder buttons. That's it. Like, there's no death penalty.
And bonfires.
Bonfires.
Checkpoints are just floating.
Touch the cubes.
Every time someone sees anytime you come up on a checkpoint, one of your party members will say, I think I see some cubes over there. Are those cubes? Ah, finally, we found the cubes. It's very good.
Leave it in Japanese, by the way. It's even better. I really don't know.
Everything sounds so much cooler in Japanese, but the delivery that Jack has for every line in English is pretty spectacular.
It stops you from getting irritated when they say the same garbage.
That's true.
A thousand times.
That is true.
Which is like the charm.
Very common.
I also want to say, because this is like what I do in every Final Fantasy game, because the menus are overwhelming in this one. And by menus, we mean like the two loadouts you have equipped at any given time, including combos and equipment and all that.
There's another layer of commands, by the way, on the left trigger and the face buttons.
Okay.
Yeah,
you can do command abilities, abilities. Which is another layer.
There's an optimize button. You just press the optimize button and it automatically equips your entire party with the best gear that they have available to them.
Oh my God.
Just do that.
I wish I knew that.
Oh God, yes, Russ, you need that. But see...
Wait, can you just tell me, what's the button?
It's the...
I don't know, man.
Oh, B? I have to look for it in the menu.
It's the share button on the Xbox controller.
Oh.
The share
select. Why didn't they just do start and select Xbox?
I don't know, but I will say, though, that is weird because so you're getting so much gear all the time that once you have the optimize button, it's sort of like you press the button and then you're not really appreciating or noting anything that you get. It's just sort of like, oh, weird, I look different now. Anyway, back to game. Like, it really removes some of the weight of it, but also, like, you want to be wearing the best gear, yeah, so I don't know why you wouldn't press that button.
There's so there's an affinity system where can sort of have. Well, no, it's. I think it's pretty clever. You have a sort of percentage point affinity with each of the jobs, and at certain break points, like it unlocks stronger facets of the job. All right, I don't think it's that complicated.
No, I'm sorry. It's enough. Complicated enough that my brain is officially
broken. Can we talk about the visuals? Can we talk about how this game... I can't tell what's going on with the graphics in this game.
I mean, it looks like a 2004 game.
That's true. But it also looks like the art direction was, can we make a video game look like the cutscenes in like late 1990s Final Fantasy? Where like, does, yeah, it's weird. The CG almost looks like intentionally compressed. Like there's a filter on it to make it look compressed. It's weird.
I should also mention that, like, technically this thing's a real, real turd on the PC.
PC, like, yeah, the PC port's pretty rough.
It's really rough. I started on my laptop, and I mean, I sent you guys a video. It was like, once the actual game started, it was unplayably, like...
You have a beefy laptop, by the way. I have a beefy laptop.
I think, if I had to guess, I'm not an expert, but I think it was trying to use the onboard... video card rather than like my dedicated video card. So, but even on the my PC, which is fairly new, like I would have moments where the it would just switch from ultra wide to regular and would just cut off the parts of the screen that weren't like part of that. Like all of a sudden, I would just lose the left and right, you know, fourth of the screen.
I launched it on PC and it was a black screen for 3 minutes.
I had the same,
to the point where I had to DM Griffin and ask him, and he's like, no, that's just what happens.
Just write it out, baby. It has Russ pointed out
it, my computer made a noise when that was did you get literally like
mine actually is, they had to clear the way at LAX. It was
It's so hard not to be charmed by this game, though.
It is. It's so busted. It's really fun. Like, I could see getting into, like...
There's multiplayer. Like, you could get very into this game. Like, it has... It has many hooks and barbs, right? And especially once you get into, you know, you have customized your character in a certain way, and then you start playing multiplayer with other players.
We haven't even talked about Frank Sinatra.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
I mean, really, the star of the game.
Yeah, they bring in My Way, and then like the actual Frank Sinatra recording during a cutscene, and then it cuts out before he gets to the chorus. It's so infuriating. It's like intentionally trying to get it stuck in your head or something. There's so many, like, I really feel genuinely bad for people that have to review this, because like, you could take any system in it pretty much and find a lot of problems with it and like really go to town. But like, if you can get past that mindset and just be like, just kind of meet it on its own terms, there's a lot to like. It's like, like I said, I hated it at first. And then when I fought that boss so many times, I realized like, damn it, it's got, I know this trick. Like, I know this is going to work on me. I'm going to become imprisoned by this game because I'm playing it, like, it's forcing me to engage with these systems in a way that, like, it really got its hooks in me. I don't know. I there's something, like, really charming about it.
I hope it comes to Game Pass, or, like, this is the case for, like, subscription service games in general, because I think a lot of people would like it, but it is a little bit tough to recommend it to just, like, everybody.
Yeah,
at full price.
It kind of reminds me of, and we don't get a lot of these games, but... reminds me of like Ninja Blade. Remember Ninja Blade from 09, where it's like, God, that's a From Software game, where it's like, this is really, really stupid. And there's a lot that's very bad about this. And I'm kind of deeply into it. It just sort of, I don't know.
Well, 50 Cent works. Blood on the Sand is
that's another good.
Really felt good like comparison. That to me. And in the same way that game like actually killed, I think, two or three of my Xboxes. hey, should we talk about some Ghostwire?
Yeah, I can't wait to hear about this fucking game.
Right. Well, we're going to take a break first.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's fine.
Right, okay. Ghostwire. Ghostwire Tokyo.
And this is going to be kind of a weird one, because correct me if I'm wrong, I think Justin is the only one who has played through it. He actually reviewed it for Polygon.
I did indeed.
Yes, I have not touched it. I think we were torn on whether or not we were going to do a whole episode on it, because it's not the biggest game, I would say, of the spring, but I love Tango Gameworks and want to know everything about it.
Yeah, so Tango Gameworks is responsible for The Evil Within, mainly, and they're working on a game, according to Wikipedia here, called Hero Dice on the iOS, which I don't know anything about it other than that, but I am...
The name alone is...
Yeah, that sounds like... Great. You just found Besties ASMR right there. okay, so Ghostwire Tokyo, you play a man named Akito, who is in the middle of Shibuya when some sort of mysterious... I'm going to be intentionally vague about some of these story beats because they're sort of revealed as you go. It's very much like an in media res beginning. But a man on the brink of death named Akito, who is in Shibuya when this huge calamity takes place, where a fog basically evaporates the bodies of everyone in the city and leaves their spirits just sort of hovering above them. Mm. One of the spirits is a guy named KK, who is a detective who takes over Akito's body, but thinking Akito is dead, but then realizes that Akito is actually alive. So the two of them share his body. By inhabiting Akito's body, KK grants him these elemental magic abilities, which very loosely, this is a first person game, very loosely sort of map kind of, but not really, to like first person shooter archetypes. Like you can cast a wind spell that's like a quick fire sort of deal with like tracking. There's a water spell that has a wider arc, sort of like shotgun-esque. And then there's fire, which is basically like your big explosive, like room clearing spell. Akito has a sister who is in hospital that he needs to check on. So he's very fixated on that. And KK is fixated on finding the people responsible for the attack that has done this. And the two of them need to work together to reach both of those goals. It is an open world. So you're gradually sort of like unlocking sections of by clearing the fog by like... It doesn't matter, but you're clearing the fog away and exploring. And as you go, you meet, there's no living people, obviously. So right. Like it's all these like very lightly animated ghosts that all have sort of like unfinished business on Earth. And those are like, that's how you do side quests in this game. So you're like, there's a woman who can't find her dog, right? And so you like go back into the apartment building to try to feed the dog and lure the dog out.
Wait, is the dog a ghost?
Yeah, the dog's a ghost.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's lots of dogs and cats running around. Actually, you know what? Ow. The dog, it may not be a ghost because there's lots of dogs and cats
running around. So animals got fine. Spared.
They were spared.
Okay.
or is it the opposite is it like an action thing? All dogs don't go to heaven.
That could
sounds
be
like
true.
Nobody does.
It is predominantly an action true. Game. And
so like, what are you shooting?
Matt,
yokai.
I just told you that.
No. The enemies. What are you shooting
wind
at?
And fire and water.
No, I know, but what are you shooting at?
Like, oh, you need a direct object.
Yes.
They're called visitors. And the fog, I think some of the people who were not happy with their life, this is not a joke. Like all the characters are modeled on like, sort of like archetypes of Japanese society. So there's like a schoolboy who is a headless schoolboy that is.
Wait, why is he? I thought everyone got evaporated in the same.
The ghost is headless. What do you want from me? I don't know.
I want an answer for why the ghost guy was his head chopped off in the ghost world?
No, there's not that.
It's like an emotional head chopping.
Yes, exactly.
It's symbolic.
Yes. There's a like a commuter. There's a salary man. You know what I mean? Like there's sure. just different
kind of looks like
unhappy.
Slender Man.
A little bit. Yeah. A little bit of a Slender Man.
And so those guy. People you don't help, you just shoot them in the face with fire.
Oh no, it's better face. Than that. You shoot them with your spells, right? And then you can break them down to like the hobbled stage, and then you rip their souls out.
Yeah.
And when you rip their souls out, it is quite a cool animation. You do a little bit of that.
Out of what?
You do like a Doctor Strange thing with your thingies, and you draw like a spider web kind of thing, and then you shoot that web at them, and you pull their souls right out.
Okay, I thought you were fighting souls, so but no.
I found that my review, because I wanted to pull this exact text. This is what it said of the Students of Pain, which are the headless school uniform guys. A type of visitor born from the restlessness of young male students forced with hazy futures. They unleash the full brunt of their frustration upon anyone unlucky enough to cross paths with them. So that is like all the enemies are like that. It's very entrenched in like Japanese folklore. So like you find yokai that give you like increase your power, or you find these Jizo statues that you pray at and they like increase your spell ammo. And that stuff is all...
That's Jizo, J-I-Z-O, I'm assuming, not you're referring to Jesus in a cool way.
No, no. We're buds.
What's up, guys? It's me, Jizo. Come save at me.
That stuff is all very good. That like the parts of like Japanese society and Japanese culture that you're sort of getting a little insight to is very neat. The world looks so cool. Like it's very richly detailed. It doesn't feel repeated. Every environment you go into feels sort of like
the art design is just great.
It's great. It looks great. The characters look great.
I'm not saying this just because they're both set in like modern-ish Japan, but it kind of reminded me of the Yakuza games. And that it's open-ish, but kind of controlled, and you're like walking around these like very beautiful detailed exteriors and interiors where they're not making, you know, a full Grand Theft Auto, so they have the opportunity to be more specific with the places that you are visiting.
The things that I had a problem with when I played, one is I don't know if it plant. Did it feel like unbelievably sluggish to you when you first started?
I think I had heard from you to change the things in the menu that make it so it moves fast and stops on a dime.
Yeah. And even that doesn't really fix it. It feels so swimmy, to a point where it doesn't feel like I actually went and checked that something wasn't wrong with my controller.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like there's no way this is what you intended it to be.
Yeah,
so that's not like a menu fix. It gets better, but it doesn't.
I mean, and for people who have like not played it, I would compare it to like it takes a second for you to start to look in a direction, and it's slow. And then when you stop using the controller, the camera just kind of keeps moving a little bit. So if you're like trying to cast a spell, I don't know. It feels like you are inhabiting
like playing with lag.
Yeah, well, I mean, it feels like you're inhabiting somebody else's body. Like you don't have full control, that's which I get like. I could see how they justified decisions like that in the room. I just don't think it makes a lot of fun.
Yeah, the it is really, 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 besides like just feeling bad, it's really repetitive. Like the almost every mission, despite the like interesting story trappings, usually boils down to like follow this path until you find a bunch of ghosts and then shoot them all and then you're done. And you also like aren't unlocking a lot of new powers as you play. There's like the fire and water and wind, and that's basically it. You get a bow because sometimes you get separated from KK. Mm-hmm. And so you need something to defend yourself. And also you could use it in like a stealthy sort of way if you wanted to. But there's just a lot of like mechanics in this game that don't make sense. And also like there's at least three unlocks that I can think of that are just meant to let you skip or subvert the mechanics of the game. Like, it's almost like they know, like, yeah, this is kind of annoying, so you could just, like, not do this.
Did it remind you of all your favorite idle games?
No, not that, not to that level, but, like, when you finish a big enemy, you have to, like, cast a sign with your hand, right? Which you can use the trackpad for. Or a thumbstick, but it kind of wants you to use the trackpad. Or you can just hold a button, and KK will do it for you.
Yeah.
It's like... Because they know, like, this sucks.
Yeah.
Like, you don't want to do this. There's another system where, and this is actually genuinely wild, there are these creatures that are high up in the sky that you can grapple up to. They're basically, like, living grappling points, right? And they're so important and key that they're actually, like, on the map. Like, you can see where these guys are so you can go and get some height.
Sure.
But then there's an unlock in, just, like, in the regular skill tree that's, like, create one of these guys wherever you want. Because, mm-hmm. like, it's, like, we know it's, like, kind of sucks. Like, so you can, it's, like, almost game-breaking, and it's just, like, randomly in a menu. So there's, like, a lot of stuff like that where,
yeah,
it just doesn't feel good.
It's weird that this game and Stranger of Paradise came out, I mean, like, just right on top of each other, because they both feel like the sort of game that we have not seen in a long time, where a AAA game comes out, and people are always like, why is every AAA game on Metacritic getting, you know, an 85? You know, game journalists are too easy on these things. When the reality is, there is so much to lose for these publishers at this point. They have to make a game of this scale a certain level of, like, fine. I'm not saying great. Yes, I'm not saying good. Even I'm saying, like, it does all the things that people who like video games want it to do, and it will sell, and the people who love this stuff will love it. And both of these games feel like they're from the era where publishers would, you know, just make a lot more games in a year. And it was like, hey, you know what? We'll make a game called Assassin's Creed, and maybe it will or won't pop, and it can be kind of a mess. And if people like it enough, we'll go make a sequel. And that's what both of these feel like. And I don't know if that is, maybe we're late enough in the console cycle that, you know, games are a little easier to make, so we're seeing a few more risks. Or is this like a mix of business and pandemic? You know, Ghostwire Tokyo, it lost its, I believe, its creative director midway through-ish. And it's like a Sony PC exclusive from Bethesda after the Microsoft acquisition. It's just kind of weird. And then the Team Ninja Final Fantasy game, I don't know. There's something about it that just feels off. Like I mentioned with the, you know, the title cards that describe an adventure that you do not have at the beginning of the game. There's enough going on in the games where, I don't know, it feels like it's the pandemic or something interfered with these games and prevented this usual thing that we see where a publisher just keeps throwing money at a problem until it's not a problem anymore and it's good enough to go make, you know, its money back.
Yeah. So, wait, like, 9 out of 10 fun factor?
It's really, it is the most sort of like, you know, if you think that you would get into something like this, like, I think that there's a lot to like here, but you have to push through. You know, you have some little stories are neat. Like the main story is a little bit unevenly realized.
Yeah.
But the side stories are cool. And like it just genuinely feels really bad. And you can't adapt to it. Like I did adapt to it. But like at the beginning, it took a lot. Like it felt so bad. It was very
strange. I think it's a great like Halloween time game. Like it's that, which is weird because there's going to be a trillion other great games around then. But if you want something that's just like puts you in a space and like a mood and it's like a good hangout game, this is it. I think it's going to have, I think it's going to have some like pretty hardcore fans just off the world alone. But yeah. Hey, the game will be a lot cheaper by then too, probably.
Do we want to do this?
Do we have
email?
Any reader mail?
I have one reader mail that I want to make sure that we check, since Griffin said that he had completed all the Final Fantasy games. This one's from Chris, and not me. Chris asks, what Final Fantasy game would you recommend if someone had never played any previous entry before and they could only play one?
Stranger of Paradise Final Fantasy Origins.
Got it.
Easy. Next. I have an answer.
Me too.
Okay.
Me too.
I'm going
to... Let's all say it at the same time.
Okay. And I bet none of the numbers will line up. Let's see. You ready? 3, 2, 1.
Dragon Quest XI.
Fantasy VII Remake.
Whoa. Interesting. Wait, what did you say, Chris?
All right, Russ.
Dragon Quest XI.
That's not...
Dragon Quest Builders, if we're doing that. Yeah. Builders 2, baby.
Juice and I agreed. It should be Final Fantasy VII Remake. That's the most modern, approachable, narratively cogent game.
It is not narratively cogent. I think even that is still
compared to the other
one. I don't know that it's a great like representation of the series as at large, though.
Exactly.
Nine's my favorite of the sort of core series. It's on iOS, and I think even on iOS it has like boost.
Like the developers intended.
Gets
swept away.
That's when I most recently played it. It looks great, and it has like turbo mode, so you can make the game just go faster, which is a very welcome change, and is a fucking fantastic game.
I think if you want to try old school RPGs, you should listen to Griffin. If you are glad that these games have switched to kind of action games, you should go with Final Fantasy VII Remake.
Yeah,
I think that's a good place to like see if you vibe on it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like, see if it and you know, there's a lot of other
play both.
¿Por qué no
los? Hey, honorable mentions, Freshdick. I see that you're back on it.
Okay, I want to hear about this now.
Okay, there's some dramatic news that happened.
Uh-huh.
Fortnite doesn't have building anymore.
Fucking great.
What?
You mean construction?
They took building out.
Like, you can't build. You
can't
not like
build
there's
anything.
No buildings in the game.
No, there are buildings in the game, but you
How
can't
is that
personally
not
build.
To the biggest thing in the world.
Okay.
It's pretty
so
big.
Here's the background to that. The new season of Fortnite launched like a week ago, and with it, they made up some narrative reason why building is removed from the game. But it's out. You can't build. What they replaced it with two things. One, you can sprint now, like actively sprint, which you couldn't do before. And two, you can mantle up to things. So you can like jump and then climb up a ledge, which you couldn't do before, which is pretty cool. It should be noted, building will be back because it is so core to Fortnite. But the response has been so positive for them removing building that I would not be surprised if it just became a permanent side mode that people could do whenever they wanted. They actually were really smart. So they added this feature, which is just like a kind of like a Halo style regenerating shield that you always have when there's no building. So that if you get popped, it gives you enough time to like run behind a house or run behind a hedge or whatever it is. Whereas before you would just like hit B and like build the Taj Mahal around you. You don't have that option now. So now you actually have to use like the environment, which feels great. It feels way more aggressive than it's been. It's just like annoying to play people that are very good at building because I know I'm not. And that's not an issue anymore. So if building has been a thing that has been scaring you from Fortnite, good time to try it.
As somebody who recently like spent a good chunk of time playing Fortnite, people who are good at, it's hard to express, like people who are good at building, it feels like they have a cheat code where they're like, that guy just built a whole fortress in like 10 seconds.
Yeah,
it's
but
not
I would
fair.
I would say there is a counter to that, which is to say frequently I'll just like chill and watch them build a ton of shit, and they get so focused on building this super complex thing that I'll just like pick them off from range. It is surprisingly effective, but I feel you. It can be frustrating.
I would check out Fortnite now. I never, even when we did the episode on it, I did not get into it, but knowing that it's just shooting now.
Just like being able to sprint and slide, like that combination feels really good. It feels like Warzone in third person now, just in terms of flow.
I have a quick movie recommendation before we get to the game that Griffin and Justin are both loving. Drive My Car, one of my favorite movies from last year, is finally on HBO Max. And everybody should check it out if you are comfortable with R-rated movies. Maybe our youngest audience should not check it out. Because I watched it again last night, and...
Is it a Haruki Murakami?
It is a Haruki Murakami, and it's a three-hour movie, and really it's like kind of like a 40-minute movie followed by like a normal-length movie. They're very related, but that first 40 minutes has some very Murakami stuff in it.
I so respect... Chris Plant.
Yeah?
I so respect... your taste in movies and stuff, but your recommendations, I don't know anybody whose recommendations so commonly feel like, be careful about this, you might accidentally watch it, Justin. You really need to be cautious about this because it's really not going to be, it's a dig. You know what I mean? Like a lot of people make things sound very fun and easy. And I like that you say like, listen, you're going to have to work for it a lot of the time.
Well, you know what? I think that's because it motivates people.
It does. It feels like a challenge. It's a Dark Souls.
I know our audience. Media. I know all of y'all. I know that it will entice you.
All right. Tunic is fucking good.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, we Plant and I talked about it on Resties this earlier, so we kind of went through the like baseline of it. But what is your sort of initial impression?
It's really good. cool. It's cool. Super good. I mean, it's game of the year material. Like,
whoa!
I mean, it will definitely be on my list.
It's gonna be on my. I don't like this year's gonna have to be fucking good in order for this not to like crack the top five. For me, obviously, Elden Ring. I don't know that we've talked about Elden Ring since some of us have finished it. Is a masterpiece.
Yeah, we're gonna do a spoiler episode. Maybe we can do that.
Oh yeah, anymore. I'm in Elden.
That's so good. I'm in love with the ending I got. But. Man, Tunic is just so fantastic. It is on surface level like a very fun sort of isometric action RPG Zelda Soulsy type thing, but with a layer of Fez mystery on it that is very compelling to yours truly.
Does Fez mystery carry the, like, I don't think that that conveys as much.
So, anymore. That's fair.
If you could dig into
to,
it a little bit.
To,
I get what you're
right.
mean.
Right, so you know. In the game, you collect pages of an instruction booklet for the game Tunic. And they are necessary because much of the game, all of the like important details and some of like the signs that you find and anytime you pick up an item, it is a fictional language that item or detail or, you know, dialogue or whatever is presented in. So like you can't read that and you rely on finding these instruction booklet pages to learn like, oh, actually these items are what you use to, you know, level up your stats, and here's kind of how you do it. I went a humiliatingly long time without realizing that was something that I could even do, and was really struggling with Tunic. But then you've
which part did you not realize you could
leveling up my stats?
Oh yeah,
oh
yeah.
Okay. If somebody wanted,
to, okay, we'll talk
I discovered
the show.
It by accident.
Yeah,
I mean here's what I'm gonna say. Justin, you can definitely level up your stats right now in the game. You should figure it out for yourself.
Figure it
I
out
honestly
for yourself.
Think that yeah. that is the like the most satisfying moment.
Is it
Tunic.
In a menu or is it
we're
in
not
the
gonna
game.
Say
we're
not
Justin, gonna anything else. I'll help you out if you need it.
So these instruction booklet pages like reveal things that are always true about the game and things that your character is always able to do. You just didn't know that you could do it, right?
Yeah.
So that's cool. That's very cool. But also there's like notes in the margins of these instruction booklets, like written in scribbled pencil. And so there's a whole nother layer on top of it, which is like, wait a minute, like who is writing notes in the margins of the instruction booklet of the game that I'm finding inside of the game the instruction booklet is for? Like there's,
yeah,
it's so fucking cool. It's
I would also
so
say
cool. That instruction booklet, guys, is fucking sending me. Like it is. Yeah. Full on, like driving home from the Huntington Mall.
Yeah,
my dad is driving, and I'm looking through like the instruction booklet for fucking Bayou Billy or something like that. Is like so,
it's so good,
so nostalgic.
The soundtrack is out.
Well, I
want to
talk about the instruction
world.
Book real quick.
Oh yeah, sure.
Someone recently posted a PDF scan of the original Zelda 1 instruction book, just as a reference point. What I don't remember about that instruction book. Is it's filled with like the cutest fucking Link you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Like Link, like looking at a sword or like holding up the Triforce, but he's fucking adorable and he looks exactly like the fox. And it's so obvious. I mean, obviously this is inspired by the original Zelda, but like right down to the art style and tone of the instruction book is like one to one.
Yeah.
And it's just like such a loving thing. I would also add one more thing about the instruction book. I'm like very, very close to finishing it. I'm like 99% of the way through figuring out the giant, massive puzzle at the heart of this game. There are pages in that instruction book that I have seen and looked at probably 60 times. And on the 61st time, I saw something I had never seen before.
Yeah.
Because it is so clever in the way it hides information from you.
I'm going to ask, is there any use to trying to, all of the writing in the game is in a different...
Okay, so well, here's what I'm going to say. I have not looked up anything, but very recently I was like, I need to know how realistic it would be for me to actually crack this language. I can tell you, it is an actual language. And I looked it up. just to confirm that it is an actual language, but it is not.
Wait, it's an actual Earth language?
It is an actual Earth language.
What the?
And it is far more complex than any video game or book language I've ever fucking seen.
Jesus. The presentation's amazing. The game is
I don't think you need to know the language, though, is what I would say.
The game is tough as nails. Like, I have genuinely, it's gotten a little bit easier since I learned how to fucking level up, but it's like, you slip up in combat a little bit and you can lose it. It is not very forgiving. I adore this game.
It's really good. I wish we had done a full episode on it. I'm sure we'll be talking about it as we go.
How about this? How about when we do the Elden Ring spoiler episode? That's A segment. B segment, Tunic.
I mean, we'll see. I think Elden Ring will have...
Tunic will also come back for Game of the Year.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Plant, what have we talked about this week?
This week, we have talked about Stranger of Paradise, Final Fantasy Origins. We talked about Ghostwire Tokyo, Freshtick Return to Fortnite, now that you don't have to construct stuff. I recommend you check out Drive My Car on HBO Max. And Tunic. I mean, y'all love Tunic, and we'll be talking about Tunic a lot more. For the rest of, I don't know,
our lives.
A year? Like, what are we talking about for a while?
Next week, we're going to be talking about Kirby and the... Forgotten Land, I think is the full title of it.
You said you had it, and you didn't have it.
I mean, I knew it was a Kirby game. That's all we need.
Okay, Next week, we're going to talk about Kirby. And that is it. Thank you for joining us for another episode of The Besties, where the world's best friends talk about the world's best games.
Because shouldn't the world's best friends pick the world's best games?
Besties.
Besties!